File attack point.
Maverick's inbound.
It's Pod Maverick.
Maverick.
Hosted by Kirk Henderson and Josh Bowe.
Welcome to Pod Maverick. I'm Kirk Henderson, joined by Josh Bowe. Josh, how are you?
I'm doing good. I turned the light on. I figure it's tonight's the night. You turn the light on, right? The light is back on for the Mavericks franchise. Potentially.
Just when we thought we were out, they pull us back in again.
Guys. Thank you, Adam Silver, for saving every independent Mavericks website and podcasts. Seriously. He just wrote us a government bailout check.
7 years ago, similar time of the month, I was drunk as balls because the Mavericks traded up to get Luka Doncic. That podcast is still in existence. We're happy to share it for anybody who really wants it. This is crazy, guys. The Dallas Mavericks jumped from 11, where they were really in a coin flip situation with the Chicago Bulls, which they won.
Did that coin flip technically mean? Yes. Is that what decided it?
Yes.
And it's an actual coin flip, isn't it? Like, they're not joking. They use an algorithm or something?
I don't know. That's actually a good question. And so the Mavericks jumped from the 11th position in the lottery, 1.8% chance, 8.5% overall to get into the top four, which is actually quite good, to number one. That's significant for so many reasons, and quite honestly, it's a little difficult to figure out where to start because, we'll just be honest, like, we weren't prepared for this. We were going to go live tonight because Josh and I hadn't recorded in a week. Circumstances got out of our control, and, you know, there just hasn't been much to talk about.
This is the last thing to talk about till, you know, draft.
Right. Right, and, you know, there's draft, and there's always some news, but, like, frankly, you know, Josh and I have these internal conversations where it's like, all right, we need to recharge. We need to figure out some things. We don't want to do this to where it's no long, where it becomes a chore. And then once it becomes a chore, then it's not worth doing. And, you know, Josh said something to that effect a couple of weeks ago, and people got, like, really mad at him for admitting to being a human being. Really weird. But here we are, and the Mavericks are in the number one slot where it is already sort of assumed that the Mavericks could select Cooper Flagg out of Duke. And
he is the overwhelming
consensus favorite. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I mean, there's Dylan Harper, who played at Rutgers as a number two, but I don't want to say he's a distant number two. His measurables came in today and he was actually an enormous tank of a human being. And I think as a podcast and as a Dallas Mavericks community, we will actually spend a fair amount of time talking about Dylan Harper just because he's that interesting of a prospect. His father, Ron Harper, former right. Chicago Bull, yelled at me on Twitter just a couple weeks ago or about the Luka trade. That's fun. So, and then there's always, you know, we just kind of have to address it up front. Like it's so funny. And I look, guys, I don't judge anybody for how they fan anymore. I used to get pissy with it. I had like 25 people and like, what if Nico trades a pick? And I'm just like, guys, let's just be excited. Be excited the one time, right? I get shit on quite fairly, I think, for being a bit of a negative Nancy. This is nuts. Like, this is nuts. This is a different kind of nuts than Luka, than the Mavericks trading up to get Luka. I guess it wasn't this time of year. When this time of year, 7 years ago, I was very sad that the Mavericks fell to fifth when they should have been at the third spot, whatever. So yeah, like, what do you think we ought to talk about, man? Like, where should we start?
I know, I'll get this out of the way because I'm already getting so much pushback on Twitter about this because people just can't fucking like use their brains and think for like a second. Like, I'm already getting oh, you're just being negative again. They're not going to trade the pick. And it's like, I'm not rooting for, like, they traded Luka Doncic like 4 months. I don't think it's crazy to say that trading the pick is within the realm of possibilities. And I think it's a disservice to our audience to not mention it. Like, we're clearly dealing with a front office that will do anything to build the team that it wants to build. They pulled off the most unprecedented trade in NBA history. And you guys want to, like, and people want to get mad at me for being like, what if they trade the pick? Like, I'm not doing it to try to piss in your cereal bowl. Like, I'm just saying, like, we have to think about it. Now, I want to talk about it now and get out of the way, and then we can talk about the other stuff, because I don't want to talk about the whole podcast about that, because that also wouldn't be responsible. But it is a possibility. The Mavericks have no draft capital from 2027 to 2030. Nico clearly, in his own words, has said that he anticipates him staying for the rest of his contract, which is 3 years, and he's trying to win a championship within that window. He traded Luka, in his words, to win now. He, like, wouldn't logic also follow, okay, I don't want to develop an eight, like, Cooper Flagg turned 18 a couple months ago. Like,
so here's,
like, where does 18-year-old development fit into the Nico Harrison structure?
I'm glad you asked. And it's really,
I think that's a fair question, and I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just saying I think that we are allowed to ask that question.
Yes. And first of all, the Mavericks just released a video about 6 minutes ago of their lottery room, and they exploded. Like, Nico Harrison knocked over his chair.
This is huge.
This is huge because in a certain respect, it gives them the cushion to say we need more time. Because, guys, the offseason after Luka Doncic trade, every single thing that possibly could go wrong went wrong. Like, I don't really think there was a single thing that went correct. And that's just fair to say. It is what it is. And this is a real beacon of hope for a team that has extraordinary pressure to perform. Now, what makes this really fun for us is it does open up the entire vein of possibilities of trades of people on the roster and the pick, you know, because we've talked about this a little bit. The Mavericks are up against the salary, the first apron. And I think if they selected Flag with how much the first overall pick gets paid based off of the salary, like slot stuff right now, they would go over that apron. That's also before any sort of salary cap increase, but I don't necessarily think that matters. I think the apron is a certain level of high. Anyway, it just opens up possibilities where we're sitting here thinking, okay, the 11th overall pick, who might be there? And this is a interesting draft with a lot of talent, but also some very clear tiers where you get out of the top 3 to 4 and you have to start taking home run picks. And the Mavericks, as they were constructed, as they're currently constructed, have a team where an 18-year-old, in theory, 18-year-old X, create a player X, doesn't fit anywhere. I think now, understanding the type of player I believe Cooper Flagg to be, that simply changes the math. The Mavericks at this moment are hilariously big man heavy, if you assume Flagg was to become a Dallas Maverick. And that just opens up a possible.
Although, is he? I mean, he's more like a 3-4, right?
He, like, you want to know where my brain is? He's Andre Kirilenko with a green light, with a greener light. Some NBA GM, an anonymous one over a couple weeks ago, said his offensive game reminds him of Kawhi Leonard. Well, Kawhi can't pass like this guy, but Cooper Flagg is a dog. Is he a Luka Doncic level offensive talent? Of course not. Of course not. But he is the kind of guy who can give you spot minutes guarding every single position on the floor. Somebody in the chat says he's not a 5. Come on. No, he's not. He's like a 3-4 hybrid. But can he give you spot minutes guarding someone at the 5 for, like, just to go super small? I truly believe that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And Yeah, like I think, you know, I'm not a draft expert, so I don't want to be going over my skis here, but like
you're going to love learning about
this. No, I know. From what I understand, he's not like Luka, LeBron level prospect, but he is not far away from like that Zion. He's like in that Zion, Ja Morant.
I'm not sure because he's a defensive.
Or do you think he is or do you think he is close to that Luka LeBron level prospect?
Yeah, he's not a Nike guy. That's somebody noted that in the chat. He is actually a New Balance guy, which is legitimately hilarious that we're saying those words together, that a player is a New Balance guy. His calling card coming into his freshman year at Duke, and I follow this stuff just because I'm weird and I like knowing this stuff.
You love the draft.
I do. I always have. Now, I'm not like a draft nerd, but I like following it.
And you got draft friends.
Draft friends for sure. It's like my buddy Brian, who we'll have on the show at some point, just like he just texted me like, what the fuck, right after the ending. He knows. And it's like I don't want to get ahead of my skis either because I am not a Cooper Flagg expert, but I will tell you guys that his defensive instincts are the kind of thing that Nico Harrison was referencing.
Defense is his most like NBA ready attribute, isn't it?
I'm telling you what, man, a Cooper Flagg, Anthony Davis front line with somebody else that can actually shoot a three ball. Holy shit. I mean, you got Lively, I guess, back there. I mean, this is the big ball stuff that Nico was envisioning. You know, we've been really hard on him because we don't necessarily think it's a sustainable winning model. But if you're, you know, playing GM of the mind and looking ahead, brother, this guy is dope. I think, you know, given how challenging the West is, not to get too far ahead of ourselves, we're just going to, for the sake of argument right now, we're going to waffle back and forth between, are they going to trade the pick? Are they gonna draft Cooper Flagg or Dylan Harper? But right now, I think they want to keep the pick because I think he would allow them to play in certain ways. And you know, one of the things that's come to light in Mavs social media the last several days, I mean, we all know this, but it comes up as the summer drags along that PJ Washington and Daniel Gafford are in the final years, they're entering the final years of their contracts. And the Mavericks, as we know, are an expensive team. They're going to have to figure something out. And when you have a player of this caliber that gives you optionality, meaning Cooper Flagg, like he just gives you options to where, okay, you could trade PJ to a different team for a different outcome because you know you have a replacement. Yeah, Rolex says PJ could go.
Yeah, I don't want to. Tim Cato, DLLS, had mentioned something like he would not be surprised to see them keep the pick and then trade Flagg for that guard shooting help that they're going to need with Kyrie out.
Now, let's be clear. If they trade the pick, they're going to be facing a January 6th situation.
Yeah, no, I know. No, I know. In more ways than one.
Of why I don't want to like engage too much in the...
No, because it would be awful.
Because it would just be awful.
It would be awful for us too. Like this is like I was not joking when I said Adam Silver saved independent Mavs media for the next 10 years. Like people are kind of getting on to me about bringing up the possibility of trading him. And I just want to be clear. Like I know that I don't like cheer and root for the team as much as I used to. If I leaned one way or another, it would be keep the pick because that is better for us. It would be way better for us to follow a franchise cornerstone.
Yeah.
And you know, like we just were with Luka. Like it would be so much better for us.
And
like
Giannis,
I would prefer that.
Giannis Antetokounmpo soft launched I'm interested in moving from Milwaukee situation. Yeah. And that just is another like thing in the bag. Is that something that Harrison would even be interested in? Meaning, you know, with the front office, like what?
Yeah.
I don't know.
The thing is their trade ammo was pretty limited. Like those conversations wouldn't, like if they kept the 11th pick, I don't even know if those conversations happen because with the Kyrie injury and their limited trade ammo, I don't know if they get in the door because part of it is they have to have an offer that's good enough. But another part of it is a Giannis or a Kevin Durant has to say, I want to go there. Like if they say, I don't want to go there, it doesn't matter how good the Mavericks offer is. They're not going to get him. So they were already kind of behind the eight ball with the Kyrie injury, because I have to imagine that would cool anyone's desire to want to come play in Dallas next season, because next season is going to be pretty tough while they wait for Kyrie to get back on the floor. So the only way they could have gotten, I think, into those conversations is if they got Cooper Flagg, who I think is that type of prospect that you would move. A team would move maybe a Giannis, or they would move Kevin
Durant,
move a Devin Booker, or I don't know, take your pick of whatever trade rumor mill star. Now, I'm not saying that they're going to do it. I'm just saying they have the ammo now, right? Like, I don't know if Nico's going to do it, but if he called Milwaukee tonight and was like, hey, would you want Cooper Flagg? Like you're going to trade Giannis? Like, that starts a conversation that they couldn't have done yesterday.
Yeah, and we're a little unprepared. Well, I mean, we're very unprepared here to kind of talk about this at length, just because of sort of what I'm describing here. It's so much is sort of in flux for us, our staff. You know what? I want to circle back on this after a short break. We've been here. If you guys will do me a favor, I'm going to try to insert some ads. If you guys haven't joined our show in a while, I am going to host a secondary show. We have some new intro music. I'll play it during the break. There's some real, if you have takes or thoughts that you'd love to get off, I want to talk to you guys tonight. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to host a Friday show, this week, cause I have to do field day at my son's school. So Josh and I are going to insert some ads here. At least we hope, the ad system has been goofy for me, and then we will be right back to sort of talk about other stuff. That was mostly for our audio, folks. Thank you so much for listening. For those of you who are here live on the stream, I very much appreciate you. Guys, if you're returning to our show after a bit of a hiatus, welcome back. I don't blame you. If you are still out on the show but wanted to hear what we had to say, we appreciate you stopping by. This is a complicated time in Mavs fandom. It's a complicated time in just sort of sports fandom generally for the Dallas area. There's just a lot going on all the time. The Wings drafted Paige Bueckers. There's just a lot of basketball.
Both Dallas basketball franchises get the number one pick within months of each other.
And I want to say Worldwide Wob did the math on it, and it's like a 0.04% chance. Like, it's very statistically unlikely that it happens.
Yeah, because the Wings weren't the favorite to get the number one pick, right?
No.
Yeah.
And we'll, you know, I'm not.
I told you, though, this is your.
No, my buddy Matt Moore.
This is your Dirk year. Things are going to be coming up this year.
That's true. I turned 41 today. So happy birthday to me. That's pretty exciting. My household did have hand, foot, and mouth this weekend, though. So I feel like I've earned the number one pick in that way. So one of the things I did want to note out about like what our staff was sort of planning on doing is like, I sought out like four new guys to help us staff coverage, and they had planned, they have all this cool stuff planned.
Yeah. All these players that we don't need to cover now.
I think I'm going to bully and just doing it anyways, cause it's fun.
Yeah. Also,
what if we had the Sixers second round pick right now? Whatever. we're still going to do some fun draft content, because I really like writing about the draft. I like reading, you know, Jeremiah Fears was sort of my guy I was angling for at 11. Now, you know, seeing how big he was today at the combine, I don't think he's going to be there at 11. And there's a lot of stuff. And it's like, if you're interested in the future of the NBA, the draft is just a great time to latch on. And we were going to have some content. We will definitely have some fun content with Cooper Flagg and Dylan Harper on the prospect range. There's just a lot.
It's really funny that everyone gives you so much shit for being maybe a sourpuss now and again. And seriously, like, outside of like watching the games, your favorite thing about the sport is the draft, which is like the definition of optimism and hopefulness. Mm-hmm. Like, anything could happen with the draft, and that's part of why you like it. You like these sort of mystery, but I mean, not all of them are
the 2020 boxes. Draft was so freaking funny. And like, we were all in, like, every single person in America and Mavs fandom was like in a terrible headspace because, you know, we'd all been trapped at home, and we had a great time hoping and covering that draft. And we had three picks, and all three of them turned out to be not great. And that just, it's just the way it goes sometimes. And
when, you know, every draft expert, by the way, was like, good draft. What are we supposed to do?
One of my sourpuss friends, who's not a Mavs fan, but in a different basketball group chat, is like, well, you know, what if this guy doesn't hit his ceiling? And it's just like, then so what? So what? I don't care right now.
like right now, I am so psyched to have the opportunity to talk about different stuff. Like, you guys may not believe me, and I get it if you don't believe me, but I didn't sign up to talk about Nico Harrison being shitty at his job. That has, like, when I'm mad, it's really fun, but
that's fleeting.
It's an emotion that you know, you're here for community, you're here for good basketball. I'm not here for the suits. And if Nico Harrison has to stay Mavericks GM and they try to put together a good team, so be it. If I don't have to talk about him for, you know, several weeks, that would be great. We can talk about Flag. We can talk about Harper. We can even, you know, make jokes about how Nico will want to draft Ace Bailey, who I can't wait for you to learn about because he's like a hooper. It's really fun there.
Yeah.
And so we're just, you know, we're here.
Yeah. My thing about Flag that I like, just to get it back to talking about him, because you're right. Let's talk about that. No sense in talking about the other possibilities until we think it could be more of a possibility than others than just spitballing. But like the one thing I like about Flag, and again, this is coming from someone who has barely watched him, but like, I think it says something. Maybe this is me being like getting more old Manny, and maybe getting a little more ball don't stoppy. But like his NCAA tournament, even though they kind of choked the championship game, was genuinely impressive with the way that he kind of raised his game. Like, you don't – like, Dylan Harper didn't make the tournament. And I know that's, like, that's not on him. And college sports is very – it's very weird right now. Like, you can't blame guys necessarily for being the reason that a team underperforms. But there's just something kind of refreshing about seeing the guy – before the season is like, this is going to be the consensus best player in college basketball. That will be the number one overall pick. Lead his team to have a great one seed season and then dominate the NCAA tournament, lead his team to the championship. They didn't win. That sucks. But he played very well in that championship game and he did it on a hurt ankle. Like, there's just something about watching that is like, it sounds kind of old fashioned and like old man caveman, like sports analyst brain. But there's something, I don't know, I feel like he's got kind of the juice, so to speak. That's something that you can't quantify in analytics or data, even though his analytics and data are very, 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 very good. But that combined with the fact that his team won and won a lot when in the one and done era of college basketball, you haven't seen that too much. Funny enough, like Anthony Davis was one of the last ones that really kind of went, you know, start to finish on a college basketball season, and then Mitt was the number one overall pick. But I don't know. There's just something cool about that. Like he genuinely seemed to raise the level of his game to meet the moment every time the moment called for it.
A lot of elements of this, and like, I don't want to say anything dumb, but we're just gonna kind of have. It's part of the story. He's gonna be the first white American-born player drafted number one, assuming that's what the Mavericks do, in like 50 years. And he comes from a part of the country that is not known for basketball, Maine. His high school, like AAU circuit team or whatever, like they were shockingly dominant, despite him being the main player of note. And they were called the Maine Event, I think was the name of the team. Really,
that's a great name.
They came here and they played in a tournament in Duncanville last 2 years ago, and I was just shocked. Like then the secondary factor is how young he is.
Yeah, because he reclassified to get into this draft.
He does not turn 19 until December of this year, 7 months from now, for those of you who can't do math. He went to the Team USA before France, before the Olympics this last year, and practiced with Team USA. And they said
by accounts, he kicked some guys' asses.
He was 17 and a half. He was still 6 months then from being 18.
You know, that kind of reminds me of that's like the LeBron, Luka, Dirk, like men among boys kind of thing, which is also like a great comparison.
He is a dog. And whether or not he had like I'm still a little. I don't want to speak to what his skill level ceiling is. But you just have to not like. This guy has a high floor and a high ceiling. And that's a really fascinating number one pick. Now, what is that ceiling? Can he ever be, you know, we're just talking, it's so great talking like this. This is ridiculous. Can he ever be the number one option on offense for a championship basketball team? I have no idea.
He was the number one option on a championship caliber college team. I don't know if that counts for anything.
So I'm just not willing to rule anything out right now.
Dude, 21-7-5 with two blocks and almost a steal per game in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. To get all the way to the championship game.
You're going to cackle if you actually decide to do any sort of deep dive on him, you're going to cackle.
Yeah. I've watched enough. I mean, yeah, he's good. The only thing is he looks a little shorter on the floor than I thought when people described him to me.
Well, so
that doesn't matter.
Did you see the combine measurements for him today?
No, what were they?
Without shoes, 6'7¾".
Okay, that's good.
So yeah, and so we have a new gentleman in the chat. I think his name's The Dude, where he's been just sort of emphatically noting that maybe his best role is the three. I have no idea, but I will say that like skilled size is what wins the day in the NBA. You know, we've been watching these Cavs fall apart in the playoffs because of injuries, because they don't have any actual wings. That's kind of a dirty little secret that,
yeah, it's been the Warriors kind of like when their titles, everyone was like, oh, small ball. It's all about small ball. And it's like, it's not small ball. It's being, you know, still being big and skilled. That's what you just said.
Yeah. And that's what made Luka such a bear to play against. Now, right. I'm going to love, like, this was my favorite part of the early Luka years. And I think I wrote about this like towards the end of his rookie year, where it's like the best part is like the wish fulfillment of what a guy could be
before expectations
really take root. And you get all the stuff, like you're watching it with SGA right now, which shout out to SGA for, once again, finding out that the playoffs are harder than the regular season. But I get kind of grossed out by the constant teardown. Like some dudes I get sick of and I'm like, you know what? Fuck that guy. But like, there's an intense desire to tear down whoever is making a run. And like, that's just not why I watch this stuff. I watch for my guy I wrote about that again, when with my Fire Nico letter, where it's like, I am now hyper invested in the potential of Cooper Flagg. And like that feels really good, man. It feels really good. What do you think?
No, it does feel really good. I mean, it gives us selfishly just gives us something to talk about. It's interesting. It doesn't put, cause again, the bill is coming, right? They don't have any draft picks to close the decade. Maybe they will now, though. I mean, with Cooper Flagg, like if they keep Cooper Flagg, maybe some of those pick swaps aren't going to be swapped because those aren't going to be bad picks.
I remember I watched,
watched,
God, what is it? It's the great Civil War novel. Fuck, why is it? It's I'll deal with it tomorrow, is what the lead actress says. And it's like, we'll deal with that later. I had completely blanked out of my mind that they don't have draft picks for 4 years for the last 30 minutes.
So like, you know, we were staring down the barrel of, even if this team is interesting in 2 to 3 years, like that's it though. Like it's over after that. So now, even when if that bill comes due, the fact that they're going to have, you know, presumably, we'll have Cooper Flagg to get them through it. So maybe that those picks don't sting as much that they give away. Cause what the 2027 is when it starts. So you got this 2025, 2026. So you got this season and next season basically. So if Cooper Flagg by his second or third year is starting to approach an all-star level player, which is, that's the kind of prospect he is, I think, is, you know, be an all-star by year three, maybe even year two. It's a broken record, but it's like a get out of jail free card. Like everyone's saying it, but it's true. So, and that's what I'm excited. Like, you know, I get to talk about the basketball, like if they keep him, like if they don't keep him, then I have to talk about this BS for even longer. And it's just going to keep dragging it down. Like if they just make the pick and they pick him, or even if they pick someone else, we can talk about the basketball, which is the stuff that I want to talk about. Because it's really, like, it is really, like you said earlier, it is really interesting. Like, if they pick Cooper Flagg with Lively, Gafford, Davis, PJ, they're going to have to make some moves. Like, maybe they trade PJ, maybe they don't. But, like, there's pieces, and they can shuffle some things up, even with Kyrie being hurt, that they can make some interesting lineups and do some interesting things. And that's what I would much rather talk about instead of, you know, fans protesting about a general manager or people canceling their season tickets. Not saying that's not stuff, like, we need to talk about it, because
that's right.
It's what's happening. But, you know, we would much rather talk about other stuff. I'd rather talk about the games. And I think this kind of re-energizes that feeling.
Well, this means you're going to have to watch at least one summer league game, which I find patently hilarious.
That's awesome. I love summer. I don't love, you know, summer league basketball is objectively horrific, but sure. It's fun. But it's like fun. Like I'm glad it exists. I'm glad it's there for sickos. And now, you know, like the Lively summer league was awesome.
He played it was
like, that was fun. The Dennis Smith,
even if it's just like one or two games, you know, you soak it up. You know, what Josh and I were going to talk about some of the recent news, but you actually just said something. So the Mavericks fired a couple of members of their training staff. I don't feel like bringing anything down. We've not addressed any of this stuff because Josh and I just weren't around. I think, you know, today's Monday. Today is Monday. Maybe later in the week, if we have the juice, we'll come back and do a second show, because I really want to, you know, we're towards a point in the calendar where I would like to, you know, review some of the players' seasons like we talk about, and really, like, we've not really had a post-mortem yet, because it's been so difficult to process that a part of me was like, you know what, let's just move on and not acknowledge it. But now that there's something to look forward to, I think maybe looking back might be at least, you know, worthwhile a little bit, because you look back to figure out, you know, the best ways forward. So maybe Josh and I'll do that. I'm going to hang out here and do a second live show, or do a live show with you guys. If you guys have thoughts of what you would like to, you know, just anything. I've not done one in a couple, you know, in at least 10 days. So I'll post that link in the comments, and you guys can come join, and we will hang out, you know, maybe for at least another half hour or so. I would like to go spend some time with my wife. It is my birthday, and, you know, but whatever. So we'll be back here in a little bit. If Josh, you got anything before you want to go?
No, I hope you have a good live show. I know most of your live shows have been in response to something traumatic happening. So I hope everyone needs to have some fun. Let off some steam. Like, seriously, I'm glad that there are some – we've talked to Mavs fans who obviously, like, told us, like, I'm peacing out. And we're like,
yes,
do it. Like, totally do it. But there were some that were like, I can't. Like, I want to, but I can't.
That's right.
So I'm happy for those fans that feel – like they needed to stick it out. You know, you need a little reward. That's great.
All right, Josh, and I'll be back in just a minute. Thank you so much.
You guys have fun tonight.
Hanging out. This has been Kirk Henderson and Josh Bowe. We've been doing, I'll call this a Mavs party, and then I'll just call the other one a Mavs party as well. I had no idea. I didn't have time to make any of the graphics. So
I know.
We'll be back in just a few minutes. Thanks, guys. Have a good night. And everybody who's here on, stick around and join me live.